Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Late November, early December. Tall, dry weeds in the fields. Cut corn under your boots. A bell on the collar of the hunting dog. Can you hear it? Well, I can hear it. I can still hear it. On my old dogs, Argo and Jason, Buck and Bullet. A boy and his dog, or a man and his sons and the dog, or a dad with his daughters, or a mom and her girls and boys and their chocolate lab in the fields for a Thanksgiving Day hunt. And then it comes. The bell stops tinkling. The dog stands still and you know it's on point. And then comes the startling, thundering boom at your feet. The boom of the wings of the cock pheasant rising into the sky. The thrum of it. Squawking as it turns, and the shot as it locks its wings to glide. And then the warmth of the bird in your game bag. And later that long drive home. The dog snoring in the crate in the back. A pheasant or two for Thanksgiving. That's one Thanksgiving tradition for those of us who are Midwesterners. Not all of you like bird hunting. I don't mind. I like it. And another Thanksgiving tradition, the gathering and the feast, the taste of that first scotch and soda, sitting around with the family and friends on Turkey Day, enjoying your feast. Maybe some of you will think about that, you know, Greek tribe that brought the lamb and pasticho and tiropites to the first Thanksgiving, so the white pilgrims who don't know how to cook might have had something to eat. And the Irish tribes bringing corned beef and Guinness. Brown Guinness, bread in a glass, and the African tribes with jerk chicken and okra, the Italian tribes with the sausage, and I hope for your sake it's from Joseph's Finest Meats, the Puerto Rican tribes with the plantains and garlic, the Mexican tribes with the braised goat in the style of Jalisco, and all the other tribes too from Poland, Hungary, Romania. All across Africa, all across India, China, Vietnam. Because they brought pho to the pilgrims. You know, that's my story. Because no matter what the tribe, no matter what tribe we're from, we're all Americans. We're in the American tribe now. And all of us bowing our heads, thanking God for bringing us to this great country. When you bring the tribes together under your roof, they're going to talk about the news. And years ago, they might have talked about that bear killing the cattle. But now it's the Kyle Rittenhouse case and prosecutors and politicians and corrupt media trying to destroy the kid before trial for politics. And now the violent career criminal out on low bail for other alleged crimes mowing down those children and grandparents in Waukesha. They're not going to have a Thanksgiving. They're not going to have a Christmas. The talk now nationally is of those woke prosecutors, many of them funded by George Soros or other big media types of the left, releasing violent criminals back into society in Wisconsin, Illinois, California, Pennsylvania, elsewhere. Social justice warriors experimenting with your safety. I tried to warn you about them when I was at the paper. And for this sin, I was unfairly defamed by the woke newsroom union. They called me a bigot. They didn't want me around. And now, happily, I'm gone, writing independently at John Cass News and talking here freely on the Chicago Wave podcast. Jeff Carlin is here, as always, executive producer at WGN Radio, a good man and my friend. And if you like what you hear here, well, Jeff has made it so. And Zeus is here, the wonder dog, whining around the corner, wanting to go for a walk. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, columnist. Yeah, I'm still writing. Tell your friends and family where to find me. You know where. Now, you might be listening to this driving back from a hunt. Or maybe you just watched the hapless bears. Or you might have your family coming over. Or you might be going out on Black Friday and all the other days after the holiday, getting ready for Christmas. I know where you are right now. You're with me, here, behind the iron blue curtain, on the Chicago Wave podcast, on WGN Plus.
Look, the Chicago Wave is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
So, as I said in the opening monologue, Jeff likes me to do monologues from outside, adding to the ambience of the sound. I thought about Christmas or Thanksgiving traditions, one being the bird hunt, you know, walking in the field with your dog and your sons or daughters, and then coming in on the, there he is, if you can hear him whining in the corner, and coming in to get ready for Thanksgiving and the Thanksgiving feast, where we feed our guests whiskey and then expect that they're not going to talk politics. And there's other stuff going on today too, Jeff. Well, for one, you know, there was that Kyle Rittenhouse interview on Tucker Carlson, which was, I thought, riveting. And two, all the talk about the Waukesha massacre with all those children and people mowed down by the man in the red SUV.
Yep.
It turns out that he was on bond for violent crime.
Mm-hmm. And running down the, allegedly driving over the mother of one of his children.
Yes. And now there's talk all over the place about these prosecutors. We have one in Chicago, Kim Fox, but others across the nation funded by George Soros. And so I tweeted out right before Thanksgiving, what happened, you know, that we're all talking about Soros prosecutors, but let me tell you what happened to me.
Yeah.
When I did that, when I called him out, my own newspaper guild tried to defame me, actually did defame me, and tried to cancel me because they didn't think I belonged in the newspaper that I had written for 35 years. And you know, the old John Cass would have just not mentioned it, but the new John Cass would mention it and did, and invite everyone to witness and experience independent journalism here at the Chicago Way, mm-hmm. and also at johncassnews.com. There's a lot going on, Jeff. The country, the country seems to be, you'd think that it would be, you know, the healing process would begin after the Rittenhouse case, but
No. So let's get into the Rittenhouse case first. What was your take?
Oh, I mean, my take on it is nothing like groundbreaking or anything, but the law as it stands in Wisconsin was that you know, this kid was in a dangerous situation and was being threatened by mob mentality, and he wound up defending himself. I mean, I think the cases I saw was laid out by the defense perfectly. They were outgunned. They outgunned the prosecution. We had Bob Mylan talk to Steve Bertrand essentially and lay that out. I mean, he thought that, you know, Kenosha, how many murders, how many times are they trying cases like this? And they, you know, they dropped the ball definitely. But I think on the cultural piece of it, I know, you know, there's all this, and it's like every news story, it doesn't matter what it is, but it's being ginned up as one thing or another. And it was, you know, can the president even calling Rittenhouse a white supremacist, which, I mean, if at 17, if your life is that organized and that you're, you know, that's, you figured out that that's what you want to do with your life, you know, okay, that's probably a waste of your time, in my opinion. But we really think that this kid's 17. He knows enough, and you're going to call him this. You have enough evidence to say this is what this kid is. I mean, come on. Anybody who was doing that was just need to look at themselves. But the weirdest part for me, from my following the whole Rittenhouse case, was one, the prosecution clearly bungled it, and they, according to Mylan, they probably could have tried him on a different set of circumstances or a different case and gotten some.
They overcharged him. They overcharged him because this wasn't a prosecution. This was a political,
right,
Democratic Party prosecution of a kid.
Right.
They had to have somebody burned because the party and the political leaders, the governor and the mayor, withdrew and allowed anarchy. This kid was in the middle of it. He defended himself. And the prosecution witnesses killed the prosecution case. Yeah, right. I had a gun. Yeah, I pointed at him.
Right.
You know,
absolutely. I mean, yeah. So I'm not a legal, so I wouldn't dive into what. But this is according to people like Bob Mylan, who was someone who's been in this position. You know, he's been worked in a prosecutor's office. He's worked, you know, in a state's attorney's office. So I trust him, but. The weirdest thing for me was that there was all this worry that there was going to be, like, you know, more looting and rioting and burning of Kenosha if this case goes one way or another. And, you know, there was so much media out there, and we were covering it because that's what we do. We have to be prepared for the worst. And we go up to our reporters out on the street out there, and they're like, yeah, the reporters outnumber the number of protesters. That's where we are, which was kind of refreshing in a sense, John, just because we weren't devolving into chaos over one legal standing, you know, in an instant.
Well, there's a reason for that, Jeff. The reason is that there was no election coming.
Right.
When Jacob Blake was shot with a knife trying to hurt a police officer, that became an extension of the campaign of violence in the cities, throughout the country. Chicago, you remember when Lori Lightfoot caved and let the mob destroy downtown and the rest of the city. So it was a political thing that they had. They wanted and encouraged. Remember you're not supposed to protest because you have COVID. And then bunch of doctors came forward and said, "Oh no, protesting is fine." Screaming spittle across the divide between cops and protesters is just fine because it was political. They wanted to get the vote ginned up, and now there's no election, so they don't need to get the vote ginned up. I mean, that's my take. I mean, I don't know. Is that cynical? Is that?
I mean, it's certainly cynical, but. I mean, in the absence of, you know, outright evidence, he can fill that void with pretty logical connections. I mean, what's the one thing that's missing in between these two different timelines?
Right. Where's the dog that doesn't bark?
Exactly.
Right. Although, although the dog that barked pretty loudly was Joe Biden and many of the media that defamed, speaking of defamation, defamed this young man. They said he crossed the state lines. You know, he crossed state lines with a gun, which he didn't. But it's interesting. I guess state lines, borders between states, are sacrosanct to the left, but then borders between countries like Mexico and the United States are not. I just and all the other stuff that they said, and Biden with the linking him to white supremacy. How do you have a fair trial if the president of the United States, who's campaigning as a unifier, right? Yeah. Let's put all the aggressions aside and
he was unifying the Democratic Party. He wasn't unifying the country. Come on, you misread that.
I just take him at his word, even though I don't know what that means anymore. But still, when you have a president call you a white supremacist before the trial and before he was president,
I know,
when he was a private citizen, Joe. Lunch bucket Joe, you know?
Senator Lunch Bucket Joe.
Right. Senator Joe. And all that. I wonder, do you think there's a libel case here? Because I'd like to see one.
I mean, they have to prove damages. I'm sure there will be a case. And they have to prove damages that, like, he had, you know, this kid was going to stand to make millions of dollars without being involved with anything or whatever. I mean, I don't know. They'll probably get something out of him. They'll settle something. But yeah, what a stupid thing. I mean, and the whole reason he was doing it is, and I joke too, is unifying the left. But that's why he was doing it. It was to unify the left, to try to bring in the, you know, the culture warriors to his side. And it's just, again, we talk about this, like decorum. We've talked about this so much. You used to mean things. You used to mean when you would say stuff. You know, now you just say it because, you know, tick ratings, or it'll tick clicks on a blink, or it makes a headline for an Instagram post or whatever it is. Like, come on. But that's the news of the week, John. Do you want to go into to the Waukesha stuff?
Well, how did you guys cover it?
Well, I mean, we covered it from observational. I mean, I we had, like I said, the lawyer on to give out, you know, secondhand ideas of knowing what's the difference between Kenosha and Cook County. It was kind of our look at it. You know, how would this story maybe been if tried here? And then, yeah, just reporters we had who were on the ground in the courtroom were telling us what happened. I mean, we were watching it, so it wasn't like we were looking for talking heads to tell us
what was happening, because you already saw it.
Right. So we
just saw the whole thing fall apart.
Right. So we reported it as observational. I mean, of being so close to us, not like.
And then came, and then days later, I recommend, if you haven't seen the interview of Kyle Rittenhouse by Tucker Carlson, I recommend it. Just because if you're a news person, if you're interested in the news, even if you don't watch Fox News, you should listen to it and watch it, because it gives you an insight into this kid. What my takeaway was, he wouldn't have survived 5 minutes in prison.
Right.
Not 5 minutes. So a prison sentence would be a sentence of death, or what? A life as a sex toy?
Ugh, yeah.
I mean, let's look at the reality of what happens in there and all that. And and for what? For defending himself? I guess the point is, I don't want to see anyone hurt. I don't want to see people get killed. I don't want to see 17-year-olds with guns taking justice upon themselves.
Right.
But when, and I, as a parent, I would have been freaked out. Like, are you kidding me?
Seriously.
But when you think about the larger question, are we not to defend ourselves when the government refuses to defend us? How many stories do? And you've done it, and I've done those, of the grandma in her house, sitting in her closet, with plywood on all the walls so she could watch TV through a crack in the open door. And she's burglarized and shoots the burglar or the home invader with a gun. And we run it and no one charges her with anything, right? We don't charge. She was defending her property. She's not charged as a, maybe because she's a black grandmother, we don't charge her. I don't know, but I don't see how you can have a nation. Our nation allows us to protect our life against the corrupt and the violent.
Yeah, and we don't usually put people in jail for, or try not to at least, for, you know, stupid decisions or putting themselves in positions to do things that of danger. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, the law is the land. A kid was in a bad spot. And, you know, you said, you'd freak out if your kid today was going up there. I don't see the logic in going up there to begin with. I don't see the logic in going and burning down a neighborhood because you're mad at, you know, burning down someone related person's business just because you're upset with someone else. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me either. So I get it, but we don't give out penalties for bad choices.
And well, you're right. I mean, defending, he was trying yourself to save his life, you know?
Oh, at the moment. Right. Exactly. I mean, he was over. He said he wouldn't stand a few minutes in jail or prison, and he was not prepared to be in that situation. Full stop.
Although he did, I have to say, he did show amazing fire discipline. You know, the jump kick man, African-American, that tried to kick him, the other man with the 2x4 swinging for his head, both of those ended up backing away. At least the 2x4 man did. And he didn't aim his gun at them. He didn't shoot them. He was just trying to get away.
Yeah. The shock going through his face. I mean, it was that color. I mean, that poor kid. And I hate to say, you know, hey, obviously some people died and it's even, and
everyone, yes, it's terrible.
But I just can't even put my head in that position at that age to be like processing those, that input, you know, that moment around you.
Well, process this. I think it's the, given the kind of coverage I saw throughout corporate legacy media, and I know some former colleagues hate when I say that, but it's true. The big papers, the networks, most of them, all of them, except maybe one or two, I think that they've killed media. What do you think?
We talk about this all the time. It's all about, it's monetized now. It's been completely, you know, there's no redeeming qualities other than, hey, are we getting enough people looking at our stuff, right? I mean, that's, everything's come down to that.
Well, we want people to look at our stuff, but I don't think lying and playing playing race hustling games and political propaganda wrapped up in the virtues of journalism with a capital J is how to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So enough of that, Jeff. You know how I feel about that. Yeah. And I'm going to let all my former colleagues of the woke guild that tried to defame me understand that of me. But then we get to the Waukesha case. How do you process that? Here we are, Thanksgiving, right, a Christmas parade, the opening of the season in Waukesha, which is like a Norman Rockwell town.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
And here comes this guy, allegedly run over his wife, has a series of violent actions and crimes, and is on bond for, like, I don't know how many in a row, violent crimes in a row that he was put out on bond for, which is kind of like what Kim Fox does, right?
Right.
And we see it every day. If you read the real reporting at CWB Chicago, they'll tell you about it. Yeah. So how are we supposed to process this at Christmas with families suffering like this? How do you do that?
Well, I'm not a psychologist, so I don't really have any good advice on that. But I
just
you aren't a newsman.
Well, but I don't tell people how to process things. That's not my job. I'll give you the facts and what I think about it. I mean, it's just that this the irony in that the prosecutor's office is like, oops, yes, maybe we undercharged or let him out. We'll have to look at that. At least in the very in Kenosha, in Wisconsin, that was the reaction. I mean, you do that this storyline, this you know, the results, reaction to this type of case, it happens here too. People call out Kim Fox all the time on it, and what's the response? Or you call out the judge, and what's the response? Oh, it's flawed reporting, or you don't have the numbers right, or you don't know
how to read data. You're a racist.
Or you're a racist.
You're a racist, Cass. Exactly. Cass, you're a bigot. How dare you? How dare you criticize our beloved Kim Fox and George Soros?
How do you do too much, that? John Cass? Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's I commend at least Wisconsin for being like, well, maybe we did make a mistake and we should look at this. Whereas we get in this city where it happens day in, day out, and to the tune of probably a dozen times a day. What do we get? We get, you get it wrong. You don't know what's happening. You know, that's not what's happening. Yes. We aren't letting people out who are held on gun charges and then let them go out again and create more gun charges for themselves, only in an endless loop. No,
if all you have is CWB Chicago reporting that and the major newspapers don't report it or avoid it because they're woke and they don't want to upset, you know, Kim Fox and Tony Preckwinkle, you have like reality and then whatever fiction they're telling you,
right?
Like the fictions about Kyle Rittenhouse, and then the people saw the reality when they watched the trial. And didn't realize, wait a minute, he didn't shoot black people? These were white guys? They're felons? What? You know, it's like they did it was a clash. Zeus? Please. My God, he's driving, you know, that wine, the German short-haired pointer wine? Oh, God. Anyway, can we get to something?
Get your attention, yes.
Yeah, Zeus, he can't get his my attention because I put a chair in front of him, and now he's to keep him out. Because you know why I'm doing another podcast on audio or video, so I set up the lights and I've got dangling wires all over the place, and you know what he's going to do? Run right through them and pull all the lamps down. All this stuff is depressing. The media is dying. The culture is like being torn apart.
Yeah.
Good people are being set up as prey by criminals supported by political actors. All this is, you know, I just want to go back to a Thanksgiving when you went bird hunting and you came in and you threw some pheasant breasts in the pot. And poured a whiskey and soda, maybe some Mrs. Grass onion dip mix. Watch the Bears, you know, play 11:30. The Lions.
Oh, yeah, 11:30 this year.
Would you really do that? I mean, I don't know. What? They're the unbearables. I can't watch them, man.
I have to watch some of it just so I can know exactly where OB's coming from.
Okay, let's get to this. I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way because we love OB, okay? All of Chicago loves OB.
Absolutely.
But damn it, Jeff, damn it. This team is going to kill this guy.
I know, poor OB. Fun fact, so my dad and I were at Palatine Inn in Palatine, one of our favorite little cafes. It's like continuously operated for over 100 plus years, whatever. But OB and Hampton both have their signed photos in the hanging on the wall. And on Dan Hampton's, because this is how great OB is, Dan Hampton signed his OB is the legend, Dan Hampton Hall of Fame 2002. That's amazing. Dan Hampton signed it. I mean, that's just great. So
Yeah, that's respect.
Yeah, the Bears are terrible. So, but the food's going to be good, John.
Yeah. Okay. So the food is going to be good,
and it's one of our few traditions here on the Chicago Way is ask Mr. Thanksgiving Man.
Okay. Yeah, because I put that out on Facebook.
Yeah.
Hoping readers would, you know, wise readers understand. Cass is tired. He needs your help. Can you help him write a column? And so that's what this is. Exactly. So we asked readers to ask Mr. Thanksgiving Advice Man their questions. So
exactly. Here we go. From Sean P. Center. Is it cannibalism for a Chicago politician to eat turkey? Oh, that was a fun one.
Well, you know, I think Bobby Angone also brought in one like that. And I, the former commander of the rapid transit unit police, but okay, I'm totally against cannibalism. I don't like Donner Party Thanksgiving.
Sure,
but you know, if you add enough garlic, lemon, oregano, salt and pepper, and lemon zest, anything can be tasty. I think. I don't know.
Exactly. If I know anything. Here we go. We got a good one for you. What aperitif and quantity is the best pairing for when I stir the gravy? That's from Beverly McGee Laurel.
What is the...
What aperitif and quantity?
Oh, aperitif, yes. If you have... let's see, the classic aperitif would be absinthe, right? How do you pronounce that?
Absinthe?
But the true, like, Parisian one of the 2 centuries ago that's really a narcotic.
I've got a bottle on my bar. I picked it up in 2005. I was in Brussels for a little bit, but then we wound up in Prague, and I found a little shop that had, like, old bottles of everything. It wasn't cheap, but it's a centerpiece, if you will.
Okay, so is that the one with the narcotic in it, or is that the one that really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't. I'm opposed to all narcotics.
All right.
So, I do think maybe a glass of good whiskey.
There you go.
Would be good when you're cooking. I'd say several glasses of whiskey before while you're cooking.
You
it makes everything taste so much better to you. And you know what? Also, season. People don't season enough. The Americani don't season. I don't understand this.
Here's one for you, John.
They watch all these cooking shows. Don't they realize what salt and pepper is?
Okay. Dina Swanson, Mr. Thanksgiving Advice Man, what do you serve as an alternative for those who just don't like turkey?
Oh,
what would your centerpiece meat?
I would say a good ham.
Good ham.
But the problem with ham, like a good pier ham, you know, from Chicago, the problem with ham is that people, it's already cooked, and people cook the crap out of it after it's already been cooked, and it dries, or they get the spiral ham. Like, oh, yes, isn't this wonderful? It's so easy. It's spiral, and then you find out later it's like dry, like shoe leather. Yeah. Why? Because it's spiral. Right. Here's what you do: take the ham, and you know, okay, they recommend 140 degrees, even though it's already been cooked.
Right.
So some people do. I'm not going to say because I have lawyers too. Some people might, and it's up to you, your own discretion. Put the ham in its plastic casing in a water bath of hot water, raise the temperature slightly over time, hours. Then when you get it to room temperature, you serve it or glaze it. You glaze it and then put it on in the hot oven quickly for not really a long period of time. You score the fat. You put your cloves in there like a beautiful display, I know that you're thinking I'm the Greek short-legged Martha Stewart, but that's me. And then glaze it. Pardon me?
You were both models in your younger days.
Yes, me. I'm a total. Oh, because of that picture that in the website, John Cass News. Yeah, it does look like a rather pouty, modelly thing, doesn't it?
Very nice.
So, yeah, and then heat it, glaze it, and then slice it. So it should be like room temperature, not boiling hot, not dried out, and you'll enjoy yourself much better. Some say. Lawyers say to cook it all the way to, 300 degrees and then enjoy yourself, but not me.
So I've heard. would it be okay if, this is from John Barris, would it be okay if Saganaki and Greek potatoes were served with the turkey? I don't know if that's a disparaging question or not, John. I'm not sure how that works.
It's not disparaging because, if you ever see me on the various videos that I do, like for other people that run videos on their podcasts, you'll see a wall of books behind me and a fireplace. And you know why? You know why that is? Because I read a lot. And I read history. And history tells us that when Captain Smith fell in love with the beautiful Pocahontas and all that, and the Thanksgiving, and they had Thanksgiving, the first Thanksgiving, the various Indian tribes came together to help the white guy, right? The white people.
Sure.
Because they were starving. So the Greek Indians came with Saganaki and Iropites and Pasticho. The Irish Indians came with soda bread and corned beef and cabbage. The Spanish Indians, wonderful. They came with these huge iron pots that they must have taken from Columbus years ago. Flat iron pots, 10 feet wide. And they rolled them in like on the backs of their servants. And they brought them. And it was the first paella Thanksgiving. So the Indians, the North American, Native American, First Peoples, First Peoples, First Nations, were all about cultural diversity. And so they had pasticho, Saganaki, everything. And even ortolans, Jeff's favorite.
Yes. I love eating my birds whole.
When you bite them and a little bit of their beak cuts your lips, but then the blood is supposed to be tasty. Isn't that what the French gourmands say?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'll pass.
You're going to stop at snails with garlic butter, right?
Right. That's where you had me. Do you brine your bird? I'll jump on this one, John. Yes. Brine your bird unless you're going to do a salt cure, which I recommend because then you get the nice salt crispy skin. But
brine the bird. Don't listen to Jeff. Brine the bird. Nope, Jeff is right. He's worked in many fine kitchens too.
Yes.
Brine the bird. Here, do you want a crispy skin? If it's not infused, and people will listen to this after Thanksgiving as well. So if you're going to have to do your own because your mother-in-law destroyed the turkey and it was terrible, and you don't want to, and your kids still want turkey, like, can we have turkey, Mom? But it's not like Grandma made, Here's what you do. Find a turkey that's not water infused.
Right.
Then you brine it for 24 hours. Then after you brine it, you rinse it.
Yeah.
Here's the key. Put it in a pan, uncovered in the fridge for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And that will dry the skin enough to make it crispy. Yes?
Yeah. That's the way to do it.
We should, Jeff wanted to call Carrie for some,
Carrie,
we didn't want to bother for leftovers, but what is the perfect leftover Thanksgiving advice, man? I would say, what would he say?
I would say plan for leftovers initially. So as you're thinking about, should I get a little more mashed potatoes? Visualize how many people are going to be in your post Thanksgiving leftover bubble, and then be like, I should leave enough. I won't take that second scoop, so there are enough portions for everybody else for the leftovers. So you visualize the size of your plate the second day. That's what I'm saying.
You know what? How's this? It's only once a year. So why don't you cook? Okay. You know, there's one question. Somebody said, can I use a microwave for turkey? And my answer, Thanksgiving advice answer that I haven't even written yet, according to the magic of radio, which is a time machine. By the way, all that time machine stuff doesn't work. You know, that all that time machine travel, like I can go back in time and change something, it doesn't work. All right?
No, it does not.
I've had it explained to me by a time traveler. Oh, jeez. But you...
I believe the question, Joe, was can you cook your leftovers in a microwave?
Was it leftovers?
Yes. Which
just what?
I would say okay if you have to.
Put everything in the microwave, turn it on for 2 seconds and eat whatever. I don't care if it's raw. Go ahead. You want to use a microwave? You deserve whatever happens to you. Put it in an oven, wrap it in tin foil, make sure there's a little moisture in whatever you're warming. Right. And, you know, even if that means you say you have rice, adding a little, like a handful of sprinkles. Sprinkle water, right?
Or best.
Jeff.
Or even better. You take a paper towel and the big, like to cover enough to cover your, the dry parts of your food, not like your mashed potatoes and stuff as much, but you can wring it out, get it nice and wet, wring it out so it's still damp to the touch and put that over it and then close it up and it'll be perfect.
That's the best way to steam a hot dog. That's what you use.
Exactly.
That's why you steam a hot dog bun with a damp paper towel in a microwave.
Absolutely.
By the way,
saying, John, I think you need something. I think you need to decompress with something a little less intense.
I could decompress in a field with a shotgun and my dog, and we walk and knock down a couple pheasants.
There you go.
And the beauty of the pheasant, the beauty of this, of the, if you ever seen a freshly killed pheasant, unbelievably beautiful. And
no, John, I haven't, but I'll take your word.
Yeah, just the feathers, the markings, unbelievable. And it's warm in the back of your coat. You could feel it there, warm. I remember one time my dad took us hunting when I was a little kid. My mom didn't want us to go, and she was like, "No, I don't want you to hunt. Don't be like this. Don't be men who hunt." I don't know what you wanted, little Lord Bleepin' Fauntleroy, you know, like a Greek version of little Lord Fauntleroy. But we went hunting. But the day before we went hunting, she put Bambi, she had us watch Bambi. And then after a couple failed attempts, Casso did kill Thumper. It was awesome. And I ate him with, I ate Thumper with pearl onions and allspice and cloves and tomato, stewed tomato. Oh, it was good. It's called Stifado. Oh, yeah. Never forget it. Thanks, Thumper. Thanks for giving your life to me.
Well, on that cheery note, the true meaning of Thanksgiving, be thankful that you were able to go and hunt some rabbits.
How about what's a good gift? Now people are going to be talking about gifts. Do you have any ideas?
Chad, I feel, what am I, Google?
Yeah. What I'll tell you.
Google, what should I watch on day after Thanksgiving? What should I buy? I don't know. I mean,
wait a second. You pulled the Mr. Thanksgiving advice man on me. Now I'm just asking you.
I was just reading people's questions. All right.
Listen,
good question. I don't know.
I think I know what a good, I know what's the gift, free. What's good, free and great,
there you go.
Is a subscription to subscribing to the Chicago Way.
It is. I like that.
Telling your friends about it is free. Telling your friends who are like investors who have restaurants or businesses that want to advertise is nice. I will thank you most humbly for that.
Yeah.
At subscribing to johncastnews.com.
Ding.
Is a great Christmas gift. Or you could have a plate of leftovers and call it a day. Jeff Carlin, happy Thanksgiving, sir.
happy Thanksgiving, John, to you and yours.
For Jeff Carlin, executive producer at WGN Radio, master of pies, master of sound. If what you hear here, you like here, well, because Jeff has made it so. And for my friend, Zeus the Wonder Dog, who interrupted the podcast and I had to get him out of the, and now he's out barking at strangers. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, columnist at johncassnews.com. Have a great Thanksgiving, a happy and healthy Thanksgiving for your family and for all your friends as we move toward Christmas, the Christmas season, and all the fake love that media is going to give you and all the real love that you're going to give yourselves. See you again next time on another edition of The Chicago Way on WGN Plus.